Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rapture Centric Radio.
Something like my makeup, I say you the best. I know you can't see it all by yourself, but you are beautiful.
What's going on? Were you there, Bo?
Oh, my bad. I didn't know I was broadcasting. not much. Just driving to the store to use the coin store. Is Katie not on the line?
She'd asked me if calling here. I thought that was her that was actually calling in. I picked up with you there.
Oh, no. I was expecting her on the phone, too. I thought I heard her breathing, but I don't know. But, yeah. Anybody have any news for the day?
Well, so far it's just me and you. The only news, the news that I've been focused on besides the stock market dropping down is the Israeli peace deal. But, yeah, the Dow tumbled down 300 points. It's been crashing since last week. The Nikkei, which is the Japan index, has been crashing down. So talk about a global decline.
Yeah, no, I wish it would go back up. I mean, I'm going to need some money once everything starts doing better, you know. Kind of ruining everybody.
I don't know how to tell you this, but Jesus is coming back.
Boy, yeah, I know that. I really do. I mean, I know he's coming back soon. Or it might be today. I hope it's today.
What do I know?
But, yeah. Is there a 394 number? Are you looking at the studio?
Yes.
Is there a 394 number dialed in?
Nope, there's just you and I.
Oh, that's strange. I thought Katie would be doing the show today.
She is. She asked me if I could get it started, so I think she might just be running. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, I was listening to the show from last night a minute ago, and I decided I'll call in tonight since I haven't really been on the air very much lately because I've been busy with movie stuff and school, and that's about it. So,
did you watch any news today?
No, I haven't. I've been out and about, had class earlier and stuff like that, but I mean, no, I haven't watched the news lately. I kind of glanced at it and saw that a celebrity died or committed suicide or whatever. And that was about it. That's about all I saw.
Yeah, it looked like it was a drug overdose.
Yeah.
That guy as an actor. But I don't know. Judy's videos of today were pretty good. I was watching them, and she's talking about how important it is for the Lord for us to really seek him in prayer for healing. And I,
yeah,
that came out after hers, that from people that I trust as messengers that were kind of speaking along, you know, as far as seeking the Lord for healing. And I think that's pretty cool. You know, me personally, since yesterday, I've had the Spirit on. You know, I was able to pass it on to my wife, praying over. And, you know,
yeah,
she's filled with it all day. She's really excited. And it really got me thinking, because I actually feel really strong in the Lord right now, which is really an odd feeling to have. I feel
really... Yeah, that's true. I've had it too. I mean, me and Katie had it back in January and December and all, and it was an odd feeling, but it was kind of a cool feeling because it was almost like, wow, this is I had the feeling of like I was kind of like flying and like untouchable type feeling, you know. It was really, really cool, though. It was a good feeling.
Well, Judy had brought it up. I think it was in one of her videos. What's that?
Sorry, you're cutting out.
Okay. Am I cutting out on?
Yeah, you're like a new word, and it stops saying, it stops going. And then you come back on.
You know, okay. No, about her deal the other day about how the power of the bride. We are the bride. Power of the bride. Not to think that it's us, it's the Lord. Not to say that any prayers aren't just as important, but I think it's definitely something to keep in mind. Got a number that just came on the line. Four.
Okay.
Let me pull them on.
Hey, guys.
Hey,
hey,
what's
bud.
Up?
It's Chris from PA, just calling the fellowship. Go ahead and finish, Jason. You're breaking up on me, too, but I'm catching most of it.
I'm sorry.
It might be like an internet problem or something. Something within the lines. Who knows?
Give me just a second here. I got a lot of stuff running. But no, it's just the power of the bride prayer. I important it is to do the power of prayer. And you know, yesterday when I prayed over, it really hit me today. And Judy said on her videos, you know, about you know, the power of prayer of the bride. And, you know, and then today it's about healing, and it's been healing. You know, the Lord, in my opinion, the Lord's the only one that knows what you need healing with. But, you know, I just want to say, if there's anybody that's in the chat room that wants somebody to be prayed for, or wherever you're you know, to bring those names up, not their full name, disclose anything, but I'm just feeling like, you know, we're supposed to, you know, that's what we're here for. We're supposed to help each other, the whole bride, the body of Christ. I don't know. What are your thoughts?
I agree. Sorry, it was cutting in and out still. But,
we all need to be united as as the church and the bride of Christ, and be there for each other and uplift each other. And you know, I think that's what Jason was hitting at. Am I right, Jason?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I agree 120%. You know, that's what the church lacks this day and age. You know, on top of warm, I believe that's what, you know, the church really, you know, everybody, you know, it's, oh, hi, you know, we see each other on Sunday, and hi, how was your week? Great, okay, good, yeah, nice to see you again, all right, bye. You know, there's no real caring for each other in the Lord anymore. It's hard to find anymore in believers.
Yeah, we all get together and pray for someone. I mean, there was somebody on the show this morning that, you know, I've been praying for, and I hope the Lord... I really have a feeling that the Lord's going to answer those prayers, because it's for other people. It's for the body of Christ.
Amen. Yeah, you know, and I mean, not to sound negative, but I also try to remind myself all the time that there are some prayers that it's not in God's will to answer at that time. Might be later, might be not at all. But, you know, God's will has to come first. And I feel, you know, I used to backslide a lot, because I'm like, God, you're not answering my prayer. I prayed. I begged you for this. I, You know, we came together. 50 of us were praying for this, and it didn't happen. You know, and then I had to come to a point in my walk with God that said, okay, I get it, God. It's not your will for that to happen at the moment. All right, so I'm not going to get bitter about it and upset about it. Yeah, I just try to remind myself of that a lot. Keep yourself from being, a lot of people would jump to blame God because he didn't, you know, well, you didn't do this. You said you'd do this, and you didn't. Could not be, it might not be his time.
That's true. Sorry, guys, I disconnected and reconnected again to make sure that it was better. Is that no cutting out now?
Yeah, that
was a full sentence there. You were good there.
Good.
I still listen to that video that Judy put up about teenagers and kids and teenagers, you know, about, I added it to my favorites, and I play it constantly. I struggle with my kids not having a walk with Christ. You know, they want to, but they don't. They flip-flop, you know, and they get stuck in the world and sucked into the world constantly, and I get worried and I get scared, and then I watch that video Judy had, you know, about, you know, kids and teenagers are going to be exempt from the judgment, you know, because they're still children.
Well, and it makes
it
perfect sense because who do you...
less than just patient.
You know, it's the innocence of a child. You figure your child was been growing up in, you know, Babylon, you know, in the end times. It's not really giving a kid a whole lot of a chance, you know, and God's a loving God. And so, you know, I've seen several videos where it talks about, you know, kids talking about their experience of Jesus coming in and talking about how precious children are, you know. And so I believe it. I mean, I feel bad for the people that lose their kids. I feel bad for the people that are left behind and their kids are gone.
Well, hopefully they take that as a wake-up call and spend their 7 years in the tribulation doing the right thing. Or, you know, a year or however long it takes till they get killed. I hate to put it bluntly, but for the base, you know, this is what, you know, what I tell everybody when I'm witnessing to them and they argue with me. They're like, oh, well, you know, I'll just repent when, you know, if you do get raptured, then I'll repent because then I'll believe, you know, and then I'll just repent then and I'll be okay. And I'll see you in 7 years. And I'm like, you know, I don't think you seem to realize that it's going to be 7 years of hell on earth. You're probably going to get tortured for quite a while and then killed.
Yeah, but that's how wicked the world is, though. You know, it's the, I've got family members that, you know, PhDs and stuff, and they're just like, you know, they just see it as, you know, it's an old way of thinking, and it's going to pass away, and, you know, and all this stuff, and it's like, you try to explain to them your personal experiences, then they know me, and they're still just like, oh, well, Jason, that's your choice, you know, you never know what that stuff is, and I'm just like, well, and I don't feel bad for them anymore. I'm like, all you can do is share your testimony.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't sink in, then it's on them.
Do any of you guys subscribe to 287 Pike's channel?
Yeah, 278 Pike Elk.
Yeah, 278. Yeah. Did you see the word she put out today?
I didn't see it today. I was distracted.
I've actually been waiting for this one. She talked about it like 3-4 weeks ago, I think, and she said, you know, the Lord gave me a message, but it's not time to put it out yet, so I'm not putting it out, and I'm not putting it out. And I kept wondering about it. She mentioned it in a couple of her videos, and then today she said, well, God finally told me it's time to put this message out, and I really don't want to put it out, she said, but she was talking about that God told her that if the word nuclear came up in her morning devotions or something 3 times, that she was going to know that it was God's timing to put this video out about a bunch of states getting hit with nuclear plants getting hit and the water being poisoned from these nuclear plants getting like a terrorist attack or something.
You know, it's neat you say that. It's. I'm glad you sent me that.
No, go ahead.
It was really neat because there's a channel that I like, and I don't know the guy, and I'm not trying to pimp his channel, but Freedom Fighter 2127. He's kind of like a dog. He showed the deal from an article about Iran, who is nuclear capable, speaking out against the U.S., saying that they know that the U.S. military strategy, and they have people in place here for specific targets to come to destroy us from within. Now, it could be rhetoric, it could just be whatever, but you said that, and that was the first thing I was thinking of, and Iran's crazy enough to do it.
Well, yeah. And you know what I found funny was I was driving last night, and I just recently started kind of having visions in my dreams, you know, that I know some dreams I'm having are from God. They're far and few between, and I haven't really, had like a real, you know, any kind of clear signs. But I'm driving down the highway last night, and I look up, and I don't even know why I looked up, but I just looked up at the side of this truck, and it's just, it looked like a garbage truck driving down the road. And I can't remember the name of the company it had on it, but the back was just like a military tarp kind of deal. And on the side of it, it just has a sign that says radioactive. And I was just like, wow, they transport radioactive material in an open back truck now? It looks like a garbage truck? What's up with that?
I guess they don't care about people in Pennsylvania.
No.
Hold on a second. Hold on a second, Bob.
I don't want these cans.
I'm sorry, but what's your name from Pennsylvania?
Chris.
Okay, sorry. I didn't want to keep calling you Pennsylvania.
Sorry.
We've got somebody else on the line here. I just wanted to bring them on. I think it's Eric and Veronica. I'm not sure.
Yeah, it is.
Hi, Veronica and Eric.
Hey. Hey.
How you doing?
Good. I just wanted to say because I've been down a lot because I had a big horrible dream last night about my brothers, and because you know how they're into the generation and they listen to the rap and you know like all that bad stuff and you know worldly music and worldly stuff and you know I think God sent me a vision that you know. They might be left behind and might get killed. So I just wanted you guys to pray for them.
No problem.
Yeah,
absolutely.
We'll pray for them.
You know, I want to pray for them, and I will. I'm sure everybody that's listening will add them into their prayer as well. But you're sharing. It's neat that, you know, you guys were talking yesterday about how to walk in the Spirit more, weren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you seek God, and He shows you things. And so, you know, definitely thank him for it, but it's also a reason for you to pour your heart out to him. And I'm not trying to tell you what to do, but, you know, if the Lord puts it on your heart, I do believe that through your guys' testimony of things and the prayer of everyone that they can be saved. But I've gone through this stuff with my own family. There's a person on this that's on this show that actually was shown that their mother was going to be left behind. You know, and I understand it's really hard for seeing, you know, to understand that I'm sure you love your brother with all your heart. But don't let it get you down because put your energy into prayer and doing whatever you can to show them what you know. You know, and you don't have to show them a bunch of videos of this and that. Just tell them your heart.
Yeah.
And also, another good thing, Veronica, is, I use this on people that, you know, teens and younger people that I witness to, a lot of people don't realize that if you're into rap, if you're into, you know, worldly music, there is, all Christian music isn't worship music. You know, you can turn them on to people that they can find that are their style of music that's still Christian music. Like, they're into rap, tell them to, you know, check out Lecrae. You know, he's a Christian rap artist. You know, there's what's the Forsaken, I think, is the name. If they're into heavy metal, I believe it's Forsaken is the name. But they're like as heavy as you can get. You know,
well,
you can find you can find them all the music that they'll like. That's their style. Might help.
Yeah.
I listened to. Go ahead, Veronica. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh no, you can go ahead.
I used to listen to secular music. I love listening to music. I have even in my desk here, I have these big Bose speakers. I love music. And I just woke up one day and realized I couldn't listen to it anymore. And I was, you know, at first it was like, you know, when I first started thinking about it, I was like, okay, well, not all of it's bad, you know.
Yeah,
and,
oh,
I can still listen to this. But one day I'd listened to it was the latest Eminem songs, and I was just listening to them, and then I just started getting really upset, and I just started feeling like I was just a pile of crap, you know.
Yeah.
And it hit me really hard, and it was no joke, guys. I'm not just saying like, oh, Jason got to sitting around feeling sorry for himself. I mean, I felt terrible, and I talked to my wife. I was like, I just feel like this. I know this sounds crazy. It feels like an attack. And that was the last time I listened to it. I won't do it anymore. You know, it's been tough because to me Christian music's not that good. It's hard for me to connect with a lot of it. There's some good songs, but even John did a video from John and Judy's channel that I think was from the Just for Lord Jesus' channel from the I Am Not a Robot. That's a pretty good rap song for a Christian song.
Yeah, they are out there. You just have to. A big problem is they're not real. They're not popularized. You know, even the Christian, Christian music that you hear that isn't just worship music, most of it's just pop music. It's not, they don't get into the Christian hardcore rap and the Christian heavy metal and, you know. Now, I do know a station that if you look up online, there's air1.com. They offer, like, three different channels that you can actually click on. If you want to listen to a rap channel, you click on their Air1.com rap channel, or click on Air1.com metal, you know, and they get a lot of the music that isn't played much, and you'll be able to find some different ones there.
How about you, Eric? What are you struggling with, or anything? Are you... Did we lose Eric? He goes sleepy.
Oh,
we lost. They dropped the call. They must have didn't like what Chris had to say.
Maybe.
That wasn't me.
I do get offensive sometimes, and I do tend to run at the mouth. I don't mean to. It just happens.
I'm just kidding. It's actually funny because I've cracked a couple of... Yeah, I had cracked a couple jokes about last night about Judy, and I was in a really good mood and stuff like that, and for whatever reason, I woke up this morning, and I was just like, I feel really bad for making those jokes, and
Judy's
her.
Judy's not made of glass, though. She's pretty tough.
Oh, no, and I tried texting her, and she didn't get back with me or nothing, and I was like, oh, I must have really done it, and then I finally... I got a hold of her, and she was just like, oh, my God, Jason, you're just – no, it was funny. You're fine, you know. But, you know, it's just the same thing. You know, the devil attacks you with about anything. I think we just got Veronica and Eric back. Is that
yeah,
you guys? Welcome back. I thought Chris ran you off.
Oh, no, it's because, I don't know what happened. It just disconnected, so we didn't know. So, yeah. But we were still listening. I was still listening to you guys. But I wanted to know, because my mom, she used to be, into God, really, really godly. And I looked up to her a lot. But then she started fading away. And I think something got to her. And that's when she started listening to worldly music and stuff. And now I talk to her and I try to tell her, what about the boys? What about my brothers? Have you spoke to them about it? And she's like, oh, well, they're okay. God tells me they're okay. And I'm like, well, I don't think they're okay because they don't really know anything about God. They don't know anything about Jesus. They just go to church. Because I used to go to church.
How old are your brothers?
One is 17, 16, and then the other one is 14 or 13.
Well, we were just talking about, because I've got a 16-year-old and a 13-year-old, and I didn't read that. I mean, I was raised in the church, but I backslid for most of my adult life, and I rededicated my life to God about a year and a half ago, and I worry all the time, and I blame myself all the time, because I didn't raise my children in the ways of God.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we were just talking about earlier the fact that, you know, Judy actually has a video, I can't remember the exact name of it, but it says something about for kids and teenagers, and I watch it all the time to remind me of the fact that God does not judge children until they're a certain age, and he's lenient with them because they're children and because of the fact that they're being raised in the most disgusting time on, you know, in the history of our planet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is right now. I don't think we can, I mean, if it gets much worse, I actually heard a sermon from a guy, I think it was Perry Stone, he said, he said, you know, if God doesn't, he says, I know God's returning soon, and he says, if you want to know why, I can just tell you why right now. He says, because if God waits much longer, and let's say things get much worse, he's going to have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah.
Oh, no, it's nasty, but if you think about it, what has to happen, if you look around at that people in the world that are just, and I'm not judging them, it's just I've been there.
Yeah, me too.
But, you know, you look at them and you're just like, they're so involved with the world, you know, all the you know, and I'm bad at this one. I used to play video games. I listened to secular music. I drank. You know, that was my fun thing to do. I'd go out on the weekends, drink beer, and have a big dinner and, you know,
yep.
Have laughs and practice drinking and driving on my way home. And, you know, and you see it, and you're like, what is it going to really take for this person to get shaken? What is it going to take from that person to get shaken from all the things, their iPads, their TV shows, the all that stuff?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just Jesus. Jesus is the only one that can do that. And that's part of the reason he has to come down and do the shaking. You know, it was shared yesterday in one of John and Judy's videos about how, you know, the Lord is really struggling with what he has to do because he is a God of love and it's spanking his kids,
yeah.
You know. And that's where your guys' prayer, our prayer, everybody's prayer that's here, you know, really just does some good for everybody. But, you know, that's what I'm saying. Look what has to happen to shake him. Because you've tried talking to some people, haven't you?
Yeah,
yeah.
A lot. The hard thing is that Christians label other Christians as, like, okay, they're hardcore Christians. Those guys are, we're just normal Christians. They're hardcore Christians. That's the problem right there is because people label themselves as different kind of Christians. And that's where they
get. Well, my problem is people think I'm crazy. I'm the, you know, even my Christian friends, most of them, oh, you're crazy, man. It's not the end, you know. We're not near the end yet, you know. And
yeah.
I'm sorry, but, you know, like Judy says all the time, I think it is. Yeah, Judy says it, and a couple other people have said it, that they just, you know, you just feel detached for some reason from the world, from everything. And I feel like that all the time. I mean, I'm just like, I just feel like I float through my day. I'm at work. You know, and I'm sitting there and I'm trying to, you know, squeeze in time to read my Bible while I'm at work, you know, and I'm reading
that's
while
good,
I'm working,
huh?
And I'm, you know, I'll sneak off and hide in the bathroom to read a couple chapters real quick or pray real quick and, you know, just, yeah, all I want is to be with God, and it's like everything else, I'm just kind of floating by. I don't really care about the cares of life anymore or the world. I just want to saturate myself with God all day, all night, you know, and that's what people need to be right now.
We gotta be crazy, man, like Noah. You don't want to be left here.
Yeah.
No, and I drive around. I live in a suburb of outside Wichita, and you know, I drive around my neighborhood to go somewhere, and I see the different neighborhoods, you know, and I'm just like, Lord, these people have no idea what's coming. I mean, I'm sure maybe some people in there do, you know, I don't think I'm special, but I drive around, I just, and you see people, and they're busy with the world, and you see people zipping in and out of traffic, and you're just like, oh, it's so weird to me now. It's like, guys, quit doing all that stuff.
I know. You know what? When we were putting up that sign, Jesus hasn't forgotten you, and it was at night, and we got in the car, and I felt like a little Jesus criminal. Like, I felt like it was the end of the world or something, like, you know?
Like, we'd be killed if we could talk.
You had to speed off and keep your headlights off and stuff.
I cut off the headlights.
Did you guys get to check out that pastor, David Wilkerson?
What's his YouTube channel, or
he's a deceased preacher, but he preaches with the Holy Spirit, and that's when I listen to preachers. That's what I look for. Any preacher can get up there and talk about the Bible and tell you about the stories from it, but personally, if they don't preach with the Holy Spirit, and David Wilkerson does, you can just search David Wilkerson sermons.
Okay, and if you
guys.
Oh, sorry.
Another good one that preaches in the spirit is Alistair Begg and Barry Stone, of course, you know. And then who else do I listen to? Oh, Smith Wigglesworth. He's a deceased preacher that was just amazing. That guy, he actually raised his wife from the dead 3 times.
What the heck?
That's how anointed this guy was. You know, and on the third time he prayed over her, and she came back to life, and she looked at him, and she said, "Our Father is calling me. Please stop bringing me back."
Hey, Jason.
Yeah, bud.
All right, hey, I was looking online the other day, and I don't know if you've seen it, just being online and stuff, but they have this thing now where you can take a picture of your debit card or credit card, any kind of credit card, and you can select what it's practically puts all your credit cards on one card, and you select which card you want to use on the card. It's like a little credit card with a screen on it. It's kind of cool, but at the same time, it almost kind of reminded me of that whole Bitcoin thing that they're trying to put out there now as a new currency.
Well, Bitcoin's like a new currency. It's a digital currency that makes absolutely, you can dig into it, but it's you'll like read it and you'll start to think that you're going to figure out what it is. And basically John Dofer, God, just posted in there, Bitcoin is a new currency. So just like the American dollar, the euro, the yen, anything like that, it's a new currency. And it's created by massive sets of computers basically creating this huge algorithm that produces a Bitcoin. Now, I told you, you're still going to be confused, like, well, where does it come from? Well, there's people are putting value in it, whether the U.S. dollar, it's not backed by gold or, you know, whatever. It's basically people are putting value in something. So it's no different than you putting a value in a baseball card, you know. And so Russia banned it. They won't do it.
Yeah, well, what I thought was cool, but also weird was the whole credit card thing. You could take a picture of your credit card, and you can use any credit card that you have on one card. So you don't have to carry around, like, 5 cards anymore. You can just take that one.
I actually kind of like that idea.
Which one? But at the same time, they could use the company could use that to get your credit card numbers and charge your cards if you're not careful, you know. I mean, it could be.
Yeah, but you give your credit card number, debit card number to every shop you go to.
Well, yeah, I know, but what I'm saying is they could pull some kind of scam like Target and steal all kind of credit card numbers, you know. And you just don't know who you're giving your information out there to, too, you know. And it's pretty bad.
Well, believe me. I owned a collection agency. I know the collection business, which means I know the rip-off business because you get a bunch of people in collections because they had their identity stolen and they didn't know about stuff. You can go to Walmart and print your own checks. I can go to Walmart right now and give put your name and address on there, create a fake account number, go out and take payday loans out with them, go out and write checks to whoever still takes
what?
It. And, oh, yep, happens every single day.
So you can go to Walmart and print a check.
You can go to Walmart and you get a kit that allows you to print your own checks. Okay, so like I have a business, or I had a business, so I have my own checks that I just print onto with it has a different Micker ink, but you can do the same thing. And so you just create your own check, I write the name in there, I create an account number, you know, and yeah,
wow.
And identity theft is such a joke, you can't hide from it. I paid for a subscription to a deal that I can look up anybody's, whoever they are, all I need is a name and a state, and I can tell you everything about them. So it's social security number, date of birth, all their relatives, all their phone numbers, all their email addresses, everything. And I did
It's all been engineered to become this way so they can use it to create the one world currency and the one world order. You know, that's the whole, and the mark of the beast. You know, I really believe they've got the hand scanners already are in Walmarts and everything down south. They're ready to scan, the RFID chip to take payments, and they got that other one, where they scan the veins in your hand, and it's like a fingerprint.
You know what?
And that's what they're getting. That's why they've allowed identity theft to get so ramped up and out of control is so they can have an excuse to say, hey, take this chip and we'll make everything okay, or the barcode or the they've got an actual RFID scan tattoo now that's an invisible tattoo.
That's
why they did it, is so they could say, hey, man, you take this and you'll never get robbed again. You know, I'm waiting for them to come out with the home scanning kit so you can hook it up to your computer and just scan your own chip at home so you can shop online.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure they'll do it like with the, you know, you could probably do it with your phone with the, you know, like with your, you know, code
QR
scanner.
Code? You talking about the QR scanner thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. I mean, you can already scan any, you know, device or thing you're shopping for, and it'll give you all the information on it. So, I mean, all they got to do is make a couple adaptations and poof, they're scanning your hand to take payments, you know, online. You just
I'll tell you
shop from your phone, right? And just scan your hand.
I'll tell you something that Apple came out with not too long ago was when you go to an Apple store now, if you have an iPhone, they have the free Wi-Fi and everything. When you go to their Apple store app, you on select products, you can pick up a product in the store, scan it with your phone, charge your iTunes account, and walk out the door. I mean, that right there just shows me they can do anything with any kind of scan.
Oh, yeah, it's all, I don't think that's all going to come into play until after we get raptured. I think it'll all be part of I think it's all going to hit, like, all at once. We get raptured, that'll be their, you know, alien deception plot. Oh, they were taken by aliens. It wasn't the rapture, they got taken by aliens. You know, and then they'll say, okay, so we've got to protect ourselves from the aliens, so we need to come together as a global unity now, and we're going to change the currency because, you know, I think it was John Hagee. He's another really anointed pastor. John Hagee, during his sermon on the four blood moons, he says, I can tell you exactly when the economic crash of the United States is going to be. And everybody's like, what, really? And he pauses for a second, and he says, yep, the economic crash of the United States is going to happen when God comes and raptures his church. Because he said, when you think about it, he says, he says, 90% of tax-paying Americans, he said, you got half of, you know, a lot of America lives off of, they're poor and lower class and they can't pay a lot of taxes, or they're drug dealers and making their money illegally, or white collar criminals that just rob the government blind. are, he says, the only real tax-paying citizens that support the economy are Christians, because they don't want to break the law, they don't want to break the tax laws, they pay their taxes religiously, they do what they have to do. So when the Christians are gone, he said, the Christians are gone, their milk, you know, their milk cow is gone, and there's nobody to pay taxes anymore, so the government's going to collapse and the economy is going to collapse right then.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
Yeah.
Amen. Chris is up there in Pennsylvania, Phil. I want to know what's going on in Pennsylvania, because I've never known anybody from Pennsylvania until the last couple of years, and now I'm seeing on YouTube that all these spirit-filled Christians from Pennsylvania. What do you guys got going on there?
Brother, I ain't met any of them. I've got my two friends here that are spirit-filled. The rest are a joke. I'm trying to keep, you know, I'm trying to get a church gathered up, you know. I'm trying to, you know, build. I have to fellowship with you guys. That's why I call in all the time. Because, I mean, you guys are my fellowship. I got to reach out other places. I don't know where you're from. You're saying them, because, yeah, well, it might just be my area. God's been telling me for years he wants me to stay here in this. I live in Meade Village, like between Erie and Pittsburgh. And God, and I'm like, God, I don't want to be here. I hate this place. It's downtrodden. It's, you know, the jobs, you know, I'm a carpenter. So construction just went to, you know, to crap. You know, so I, you know, there's no work. I had to take a lower-paying job that I don't like doing. You know, I'm like, Lord, can't I just leave? And he says, no, I want you here. And this place is, I mean, it's covered in satanic, just everybody practices Wiccan. You know, I'm a Wiccan. I study the second five books of Moses, and, you know, they're constantly in the book of Enoch and, you know, different things that they think they're following God, but it's not actually his word. You know, and I've read the book of Enoch. It's, you know, it could be a legitimate book that agrees with things in the Bible, but you know what God told me when I read it? There are certain things that I didn't put in my word because I didn't want you to know them right now. It's not your time to know these things. When you know, when I think it's your time to know them, I'll let you know. But right now, you need to be in my Bible. You know, and that's what I got from it. And I was like, okay, God, I won't read it anymore.
Yeah, you get a little good spankings. I've read the New Testament several times. I've tried to go back and read the Old Testament, but honestly, it just makes me kind of sad. It makes me feel like a terrible person.
Well, you know what? Yeah. I used to be the same way, but then I got into, I started taking, and this is how I transitioned to being able to enjoy the Old Testament some, was I would read, like, where in the New Testament where it says, as the prophet stated, you know, and then I would go research that. I'm like, okay, so in Isaiah, this prophecy about Christ was, you know, fulfilled, so I want to read about that prophecy now. So I would go back and find it, or, you know, same with Zechariah. And there's a lot of, like in Acts, I think it is, they go, the book of Acts, he talks a lot about going back to the days of Noah, and going back to the book of Genesis for a lot of things. So when I found it in the New Testament, I would go back to research it in the Old Testament, and then I would start enjoying it more.
It's really good.
Yeah, it makes more sense.
And then I understand, you know, then it made a little bit more sense to me. If you guys ever get a chance, look up, it's on Netflix. It's called a movie called The Genesis Code. I mean, it's a Christian movie, but I'd like to find an actual documentary about it, about the actual scientific basis of it, that how they came up with it. But they took the scientific basis that they came up with and turned it into like a Christian kind of, it's a drama movie. But the actual scientific basis of the movie is how these a bunch of scientists were trying to disprove the Bible and actually ended up proving the Bible right in the book of Genesis on creation. And they actually break it all down, a scientist and a preacher come and compare through this whole time dilation theory and the Big Bang theory and all these different ways they're trying to disprove the creation and God, they end up proving his existence down to the exact they say the world, the Earth is 16 trillion years old, and they're like, okay, through time dilation that we found out this time dilation theory and the stretching of the universe that we have now proven, that for God actually being to his timeline, the day one would have been for day one when the earth was created and I created the heavens and the earth was actually for him 16 trillion years ago, because they have to account for all the stretching of the universe and time dilation and everything else. And they actually ended up proving the book of Genesis right. I was like, wow.
No, that's
really
good. We're trying to get some people to call in right now to share their own personal stories, or if they, just want some prayer or whatnot. Everybody's still, of course, welcome. I just want to interject there. Sometimes we get to go and I forget about this stuff, but I know there's some people out there that listen to the show every night. If you want some prayer, I know everybody always loves it when Judy and John calls in. I think they might be waiting until the end, if they're calling at all. I think they've been on a hiatus. But if you've got a story, guys, that if it's something simple, just call in. Share your story. If you've had something happen, Sherry, I always love hearing from you. Carol, I always love hearing from you. There's a lot of people that just couldn't make it to the show tonight. So if you can, step out in faith, share your story. Or if you just have something to share and you shared it before and you just feel like it makes sense, repeat it again. Look how many times Paul told his testimony to people in the Bible.
Amen. All throughout throughout three different countries. And you can interrupt any time. We just ramble. Luke and I got going one night, and we didn't even realize anybody else was on the phone but him and I.
No, we still got Eric and Veronica.
Yeah.
I think you might have melted their brains with talking about the Genesis code.
No, we're just listening. We're just listening. It's really good to, hear about God, so we really take it in,
Stuff that we didn't know. But if I wanted to recommend anybody to you guys to listen to, it's a YouTube channel. It's called Awakening 209. You guys should check it out. It's
Awakening 209?
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's in California, Northern California. And if you live there, you should go to that church because that's a real anointed church. They're trying to wake people up. That's why it's called Awakening. So, I don't know. He has a YouTube channel. He has the services online, so you can check it out.
Yeah, I just found his channel.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's 22 now, but God saved him, and once God saved him, he saved his party friends and everything. He started a home church, and from there, God gave him the church. And from there, that's all they've been doing now, is trying to save souls.
So. Well, I usually don't like to listen to anybody from California, but I'll give them a shot.
Why?
We're from California.
We're from California.
We're from Hollywood.
I know, I just need to. I'm from Kansas, so I'm not allowed to like anything from California. You guys are foreigners,
Okay, yeah, I just found the channel. Is it a black square with an upside down V?
Yeah. Check it out, man. I was gonna talk about the Super Bowl last night.
Yeah.
Did you guys know? The Seahawks are a godly team.
Like, they were talking before I think it was the day before the game, and they were talking about how they put Jesus first and that they want to put Jesus first before football and everything, and that's all they were representing was Jesus. It was kind of crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And
wow.
I think,
if I had known that, I'd have watched the game.
Yeah.
Well, I think it was meant for them to win. Like, they were supposed to win that game. And the Broncos.
It was a nail biter of a game. I didn't know who was going to win until the very last minute.
Oh yeah.
I looked at the score at the beginning of the first quarter or the end of the first quarter, and I was like, yeah, I don't even need to watch anymore.
Yeah.
It just shut out.
Hey, if you think about it, the Broncos are a white horse, and the Seahawks are look like, I guess a Seahawk is kind of like a dove, you know? If you think about it. Yeah, you got Christians on the Seahawks team, not saying that Broncos don't have Christians on it, but I'm just saying that there are about six or seven Christians on that team, you know, the Seahawks thinking of it, putting it, just trading it, trading places with a dove. So, and the doves are in the Bible, you know, and the white horse is in the Bible, so hey, the doves won.
Yeah, amen.
What do you guys think about the Super Bowl commercials? I seen the one about the Matrix. Morpheus?
I didn't even watch them.
Oh.
Yeah, that one was interesting because it was, you know, new luxury and you take the red keys or the blue keys, whatever. I haven't got to see it yet, but and maybe you guys have, but there was apparently one for, wasn't Bentley, it was one of the car companies that made one that was supposed to be pretty terrible.
Well, the one with the Matrix, there's Morpheus, and he's in the backseat, and when he does, when they do take the red keys, he starts destroying the city as he's singing. If you see it, I don't know. But
I missed that part.
Yeah, it's in the movie. It's like they describe like what the red pill means and what the blue pill means. And when you take the red pill, that's kind of like selling your soul. But the blue pill, you're supposed to be with, like, God, and you forget about money. So that's what the keys represented, just like the movie. So, you know, he took the red keys.
Yeah, so you know the crazy thing, though, is if you look at PetSmart, they have the, it's a red as pet, and then blue is smart. And that's what that's representing right there. And then they have the check mark on the top of PetSmart and a little red ball, and that's the red pill.
Wow. I'll start buying my dog chew sticks somewhere else then.
PetSmart anyway.
That's crazy.
Do you have a dog? You got dogs, don't you?
We have a dog, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it was
Bo that has a couple dogs, yeah, because we get to hear them sometimes.
Mornings usually when they're barking. Except this morning was kind of silent because my sister's dog, they took him home last night. We had to take him to the vet because last night, it was about 10 o'clock last night, because he had got a rib bone horizontal in his mouth. So it was lodged between both sides of his jaw. So they had to poke it down his throat, had to turn around and poke it down his throat. It's kind of scary, really.
Where's Dustin at, Jason?
You know, I texted him earlier, and we did the morning show, and it was actually pretty good, but he had to talk to him this evening. He had things going on, but, man, I always love having around because he runs through stuff. God shows him stuff with numbers and putting dates together on stuff. And
I know. I heard you guys this morning. It was really good. Like, he was talking about 48 and what they showed to him. I'm like, oh, wow.
Is the morning show the same phone number, or is it a different one?
It's a different phone.
I think
it's
different.
I'll have to look and see if I can find it. But,
we do it at 9 a.m. Central Time.
Oh, all right. So that'd be, what, 6 my time, I think. Yeah.
I think it's at 7.
For us in Cali.
That'd be Central. It'd be 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Behind me, so it'd be 12 my time.
Oh, where are you located?
I'm Pennsylvania. I'm Eastern.
Oh yeah.
Well, it's 6:30 p.m. now here.
Yeah, and it's 7:30 p.m. now here.
Yeah,
okay,
Central
so it'd be an
hour behind y'all.
Alright.
You guys are in the future.
I have a buddy that lives in Redding, and I used to live in Orlando before I moved back to Alabama, but we're 1 hour behind y'all.
Yeah.
So it'd be 10 a.m. there. But no, if y'all want the number, I guess the number right here, y'all have pen and paper, I'll give you the number.
I'm just programming in my phone.
All right, it's area code 347-945-7973.
What was
the
last
four? 7973. Okay. Hey, Sherry, I see you chatting in the chat room in there. How about you call in here and bless us with one of your good stories?
Yeah, Jason and I get tired of running our mouths.
I'm always blessed when Sherry calls in. I'm going to put her on the spot. I've tried to get Law Talk to call in and Red X. Yep.
Yeah, I'm going to – whoa, I see I don't know what it is. I'm sitting here in my truck in my front yard, and I see something, some big light going straight up in the air. And it's very, very cloudy here. So kind of strange to see it flying really, really low, whatever it is.
Bo disappears. Rest in peace. Okay, I got 606 on the line. I'm bringing him on the air. So 606 is here.
God bless you with a happy day.
Oh, hello, Sherry, our best friend.
Oh, no. I really haven't had any new visions, but I'm stuck on the one the other night I told you guys about, I think, with I was sitting in my room, and I looked over, and the last time I saw the bride with Jesus, she had her hand out, and it looked as if he was about to put a ring on her finger. This time, she had her head bowed and her eyes closed, and he had a crown, and, oh, wow, she was so beautiful, and Jesus was too, of course, but the crown, I've been fixated on this crown ever since I had that vision. It was made up, I wished you guys could see what I see, of thousands of tiny gold candles, and it was like liquid gold. The candles, I don't know how to describe it, but they looked like liquid gold. And I knew...
That's amazing.
It is amazing. I knew... He had it just above her head, and her head was tilted down. And in my spirit, I knew the second that crown hits her head, something amazing is going to happen. So I've just been praying, oh, Lord, can you please just show me what's going to happen next? I don't have good patience. I really don't.
Well, and he's cracking the door, letting you see a little bit of stuff.
Yeah, I shouldn't complain. He shows me so much stuff all the time. And then I was walking through Walmart, I told you guys, and I'm looking for a nightgown, and I'm talking to God out loud. I don't care. I'm just like, look, Lord, I'm on this quest for a new nightgown. You know, I need your help. I don't want some froofy, valentine-y, poofy thing. I just want me a cotton gown, you know. And the lady goes past me with another lady, the little girl, and she tells this little girl, you need to hurry up. We need to get out of here. We need to get out of here. And she goes, we need to fly. And the lady with her, she goes, yeah, we need to fly. We need to fly. We're going to fly away. And I just started cracking up laughing. I did. People in my town, I'm crazy, but they call me the happy crazy lady, so it's like I'm not killer crazy. It's just like, oh, there's that happy lady that's crazy, you know. And I'm like,
you see
whatever.
That crazy lady walking around Walmart? Yeah. Talking to God about a nightgown.
Yeah, and my boss, she was telling the new girl today, she's like, look, if Sherry's talking in the kitchen, okay, she talks to God all the time, you know, so don't be weirded out by it. And I said, no, honey, don't be weirded by it. Just, you know, eavesdrop. Listen to what I'm saying. You talk to him, too. And she just looks at me like her eyes are like, she's probably 19 or 20. Wonder if she'll come back tomorrow. I just wonder if I'll have help tomorrow at work. I'm like, oh, Lord. I keep asking, look, God, could you send some nutty people to my job that's like me, but I don't know if they can handle two of me. I just don't know if they can do it. I know me and Judy would be in big trouble. When we get to heaven and we hang out, we're just going to be in big trouble all the time.
That'd be a Holy Spirit hotspot.
Yeah,
well,
really.
We'd have to pay Judy two paychecks, one for Judy and one for Donna.
Really? Judy's like civil to me, you know, with all those personalities. And I just love people that aren't afraid to put it out there. And look, guys, we're at the end game, okay? I don't know about sports and stuff, but we're like at the end of whatever they say in football, the last line or whatever. So it's
I know. It's
gotta,
any moment.
Yeah, you know, where the guy has to either kick the ball or run with it or something. It's like, we're there. Put it out there. Just put it out there, okay?
Yep.
And that's it. That's my happiness for today. Although I did go to the doctor, I will tell you this, and this was confirmation for me, and Judy will tell you. I just got home from the doctor. I got some iffy news. I don't want to go into detail because, to me, if I say it, I claim it, and I get in, I'm just like, the doctor's telling me all this, and it's just like it's really serious, and I stood up and I said, you know, ma'am, I don't mean any disrespect to you, but I don't accept what you're saying. What I accept is I'm healed by the name of Jesus Christ, and I literally left because she was just going on. And I come home, and the first video I see is Judy's where she's like, God wants to heal you today. And I'm like, oh, that's for me. That was for me, Lord, right there.
You guys get out of the way. That one was for me, guys. That I'm sure.
Right.
Front
I mean,
row.
It's like you can't make this stuff up. I mean, come on. You can't make it up. And she put out like three videos on healing, and I'm like, okay, Lord, I see what you're, you know, I knew at the end, but I'm glad you're confirming, and, you know, so the only other thing I have is the number 23. Don't know if it means anything. It could just be me. I'm praying on it, but 23, I'm seeing it every place now. It was fours and eights. Now it's 23, so... Hey, today is February 3rd, right? So it could be 2-3.
Yep, 2-3.
Cool.
Plus you got,
for me, guys.
Yeah, there's a lot of people having dreams, kids and everybody, about something happening during the Olympics. And, you know,
is
they're
that
through
the 23rd?
Well, the Olympics start, I think, on the 6th or 7th, and then they go till the 23rd or 24th.
Wow.
So,
okay. Well, I'm still praying on that. The number thing is odd for me. I've never really seen numbers. The Lord's never really showed me numbers till lately. So I'm like, kind of like, you know, what is the? I'd rather just see the visions. You know, I'm used to it. But I guess I maybe I
show
don't
me
know.
More of that crown, Lord.
Yeah, I am really spoiled by the visions. If I don't see something every day, I'm like, look, Dad, come on, you know, you've spoiled me. You can't do this, and then, but I generally do, pretty much do see two or three things every, I still see the little lights, which freak me out, just little twinkles
light?
Of lights, I don't,
when
everywhere.
You close your eyes in prayer?
No, everywhere, driving, at work, walking around, in my room, just, you'll just see like a flash of light out of the corner of your eye, just, it's not even a flash. It's like, you know what sparklers look
like? Light just appeared
like?
And disappeared.
Right. It's like
yeah.
a sparkler, just light and gone. It's just that, almost like a firework, just boom, gone. So I'm just like,
I've had that
angel.
Too, and it's funny that you bring that up, Sherry. I've had that too lately. And then one night when I was, my wife and I were laying in bed and we were talking, it was completely dark. I'm sitting there talking. And she's got her back to the wall that I'm talking about with this ring, and it was a huge streak of light. But it wasn't bright enough to where she saw it. But that's what I'm saying. She did see it. It's not like it lit up the room.
Right.
And, you know, and so, and I just kind of sat there on it for a minute, and I was like, yeah, I'm not trying to freak you out or anything, but there's just a huge streak of light that is just behind you. And,
wow.
I know it's him. I know that it's
yeah,
the angels.
I seriously think it's angels. I mean, God hasn't told me personally, so that's just my, you know, because take everything before the Lord. I'm a human being. I make mistakes. I am about half crazy, so you've been warned. And but I do. For some reason, I just think it's angels. I don't know. Maybe they're, like, you know, gearing up, getting ready. That's what I think of. They're just, like, billions of angels here just standing in the background waiting for Jesus to say, okay, snatch. Snatch and grab. Go, go, go.
Mm-hmm.
Run with them. You know, so I don't know.
I don't know. I got hit with the spirit
yesterday
real hard. I'm sorry, Sherry. I got hit with the spirit really hard yesterday. I felt it today. I'm starting to feel strong in the Lord, which is a very strange place for me to be because it's like, hey, keep me humble here, buddy. You know, I don't need to get off my, you know, I don't need to get all, you know, confident here. But I think it's his strength, and I think that's what's really cool.
Sure.
And so I know we're close. I know we're close.
I swear, guys, I don't want to swear, but I'm super, super duper blessed beyond measure. The Lord gave me a joyful heart as a child. I've maintained to keep it all these years. And it's not, I don't, you know, my life isn't a bed of roses. There's been things that's happened to me in my life, but I never dwelled on it. He never let me hold on to the bad. He always push the good in my face, or I don't think I would have made it this far. Well, I'm sure I wouldn't have. So in that respect, I am so blessed. I wish and pray every day for God to let y'all see what I see, feel what I feel, because then nobody would have a doubt. I couldn't imagine that they would have a doubt in their mind. I drove through an angel this summer. It had to have been 75 foot tall. Drove straight through it driving to work, just singing to the Lord. Stopped my car and turned back and looked. I was like, wow, okay, that one was really... Now, I've seen big angels, 30, 40, 50 feet maybe. This one had to be...
I pray all the time, and God speaks to me, but I pray all the time. I'm like, Lord, you know, you told me I was supposed to be a prophet, and I've had really one prophetic dream, and it was about the rebuilding of the church. It had nothing to do with prophecy of the end times or the future. And all my friends are seeing all these visions, and you know, everybody's getting dreams and visions, and I'm getting nothing. And all I get from him is he tells me, because, I mean, I can hear him speak to me, but he tells me, he says, those that that believe and have faith and believe without signs, I have a special reward waiting for you.
Well, sure.
And I'm like, all right, God, thank you. I get it.
Yeah, because in some ways I feel like I kind of have, like, it's like having the teacher's book with the answers in the back. And in a lot of ways, you know, that's how I feel. Like, you give me the book with the answers and these other people struggle, but I promise you I'm not special in any way. When I was young, my favorite prayer was, Lord, give me eyes to see and ears to hear. And he did. He gave me the eyes to see things and the ears to hear him. And I just think if you pray that prayer, have faith, I think anybody can see what I see. Anybody can hear what I hear. I am not perfect. I am the least among you guys. Trust me, I grew up in the 70s, okay?
I was around the block. I wasn't always walking with God. I've had to kick myself quite a few times. I'm like, Lord, you know, you had a job for me, and I didn't do it, and now it's coming near the end, and, you know, I owe you so much, and I don't feel like I've earned the right to be raptured. Are you going to leave me just because I'm walking with you now, but I've only been walking with you for a year and a half, and all the people that I should have been witnessing to and saving that I didn't save because I wouldn't follow you, you know?
I don't feel that way at all because I think until it actually happens at that second, there'll be people repenting right then that'll make it. I just have the faith
Amen.
To know that.
Amen.
You know, I mean, you can't, and your kids feeling bad about, you know, because I heard you say you had teenagers and you weren't in the church. Don't, please, if you believe anything I say, don't carry that guilt. You put that behind you because God's all about moving forward, not dwelling on the past. That's the devil.
I try not to. It just, you know, I think it's one of the things that Satan tries to use to attack me, to bring me down, to, you know, get depression in on me. You know,
if the devil attacks me, which isn't very often, I literally throw up my hand and say, hey, talk to the hand. I'm busy talking to the Father, you know, and I go on. I ignore it out of sight, out of mind. You know, and that's what I suggest you do. You get a guilty thought in your head. You're like, I'm not even going down that road. I'm walking the narrow road with Jesus. Because I believe everything happens for a reason. You know, everything happens. There's no, in my life, no coincidence, no chance. There's God. God's where, you know, that's what I believe.
Amen. I got Amen. You, too. Thank you.
Yeah, you're here for a reason. We're all in this spot, on this chat, listening to this because God put us here. There was no chance. I don't care people that stumble on our little website. There's no stumble. There's a pluck you up and put you there, honey. Now, you
Amen.
Know.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
I mean, just be bold. And I'm not a bold person, but I guess I kind of am when it comes to God. I guess I am. Might have fibbed just a little on that one. But
thing is, I don't feel, you know, I'm always feeling like God's telling me to witness to people and to share knowledge with people, and I'm like, Lord, I don't know enough. I'm not knowledgeable enough in the world or about you to talk to people and spread your word.
You're
you know,
knowledgeable
enough.
Hey, you're knowledgeable enough to say, look what he did for me. We'll walk the road together, brother. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do that.
We all start somewhere. Everybody started somewhere. I don't care if you're 12 or 72. At some point, you started.
Well, all I get when I pray to him and I'm like, Lord, what do you want me to do? I know you have a calling for me. What do you want? You. I had prophecies when I was a kid that I would be a prophet to the nations, and I had a prophecy again at 30 that I'd be a prophet to the nations, and I'm like, so obviously you want me to be a prophet, but I don't hear from you, and I don't understand. And then I can't remember, it was actually on the show here, but I can't remember who said it, but somebody had said that to be a prophet in this day and age, all you really have to do is read the word. If you're spreading the word, you're a prophet.
Really?
And I'm like, okay,
well,
that makes a little bit of sense.
When we're gone, there's people still going to be going back and listening to this. So why wouldn't you be a prophet to the nations?
Like Judy hit me with that. I don't even know if she remembers saying it, but I posted something in a comment on one of her videos, and she said, well, God's telling, she said, I think she said John said it, that John told her that I was one of the 144,000 that would be coming back, and that I'd be doing my work for God, because I mentioned to her about how I felt guilty for not doing the work that God called me to do, and now it's too late.
No, brother, put that
guilt
away.
And she said, you're going to be one of the ones, you know, I'm being told that you're going to be one of the 144K that comes back, and you're going to do your work during the tribulation.
I'm telling you, if it was me, I would pluck my guilt out of my chest physically, put it in a brown paper sack, wad it up, put it in the trash, and be done with it. Visual stuff works for me.
Chris, I muted you because I want you to listen to Sherry because she's speaking to you from Christ. So I'm going to keep you on mute until Sherry finishes.
Yeah, that's what I would do. Physically pull it from my body with your hand, put it in a brown paper sack. This is what the Lord's showing me. Put it in the trash and be done with it. Now, that's a word that I'm giving you right now from the Lord.
Amen.
So
amen.
That's what he showed me.
All right.
I
amen. Thank
chills.
You.
And,
I've got it in my back right now.
I'm telling you, and if it don't work, I've got the Holy Spirit on me right now. I'm going to start giggling. I'm sorry, guys.
I know. I feel it too, Sherry. Just
I giggle
you say
when
it.
I get the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, if it doesn't work the first time, keep doing it, my brother. Keep doing it. You pulled
amen.
It from your chest. You put it in a brown paper bag, and you put it in the trash. And you keep
amen.
Doing that until, but I believe it'll take one time. I have faith.
Amen.
And that, you can, that's a word that the Lord just gave me for you. Okay,
you know, Chris, the devil will tell you that you're not doing enough. The devil will tell you that you're not smart
you're
enough.
You're never
going to
do
will tell
enough,
you that
brother.
You, yeah.
Ever.
And it's a tough one for me, too, man. We're men. And you think
yeah.
that we have to do, like, these grand things. We think we have to move a mountain when really it's just yeah. about talking to your kids and your friends and the people you work with and, you know, doing what you're
well,
doing right
you
now.
Tell your kids, say, look,
yeah.
you know, I was in error. You're a human being. Who hasn't made a mistake with their children? I raised six. You tell them, look, I did what I could, the best I could do with the knowledge I had at the time. But now I have a greater knowledge I want to share with you. And it, you put it out there and keep putting it out there. And I'm not saying overwhelm them with it, but maybe, you know, kind of look at it, maybe this was where you was meant to be. Maybe this is, you know, maybe this is how it was planned, because that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, that's,
you know,
God, and I've got to remember that God has a will, and God knew that I was going to wait till a year and a half ago to get saved. And
amen
that it was probably
that.
Going
I told
to only
guys,
be like 2 years that I was going to be walking with him until the rapture, you know.
Let me tell you this vision I had. I don't remember when it was. It's been a week or so ago. The last time I seen Jesus. Remember I told you I seen Jesus and he just said, stand your ground.
Yeah.
Then I saw God a few days later because I'm crying out to him, look, Lord, you know, I'm whiny, whiny Sherry. Your soon ain't my soon. And could you tell me when soon is and what's the second and all this stuff? And the Lord literally showed me. This was very profound to me. He's standing in a spot. The Lord has never left that spot. I don't think I'm conveying it right. From the beginning of time, the Lord has been standing in the same spot, waiting for us to catch up with him. That's why he showed me that Lingra movie or whatever it was, where the people
amen,
in the
all
airport
right.
and they're waiting for time to catch up. I barely remember the movie. My son had to, it must be an old movie.
Yeah,
and
we were talking
Lord
about
like,
it at the Langoliers.
Yeah, and
we were talking
and
about
the
it
Lord's like, look, you know, you think you're tired of waiting? I've been standing here for ever how many thousands of years it's been, and I'm still in the same spot, basically waiting for you guys to catch up with my will. And I got to thinking, yeah, he's the first and last, the beginning to the end. And my
wow.
God, he's been standing there all this time. Can you imagine? I mean, that really just humbled me for a few minutes, like, okay, I'm not going to ask you no more how much a second is to you, because I really
amen.
Felt bad for him. I really
yeah.
did. I was just like, dang, you know.
Well, I
okay.
like that, like, you ever heard that Misty Edwards song, Lion of the Tribe of Judah?
Yeah.
When I hear her sing that I have held my peace for a long, 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 long time, I get
yeah,
chills every
I mean,
time I hear that. I'm
me.
Like,
it's like he's been standing there for all this time in the same spot, just basically. I mean, I'm sure he's doing other things, but that's what he showed me. I've been standing here. I haven't moved from the time of creation. I stood here when I created you, and I'll be standing here until you come home. And I was like, wow, Okay. I hope it's soon now.
You know, Chris, the one thing that the thing that really stands out to me that I've had to recently learn, and I hope it helps, is, you know, you always feel responsible. You know, you always, and the devil's always at you. You know, you're not good enough. You're not smart enough. You're too fat. You're too short. All those things. And what I've been doing lately is, he tried to get me the other morning with this, and he was like, you know, I just felt the conviction. I was like, I haven't read my Bible enough lately. You know, and it was hit me really hard, and I started thinking, I was like, yeah, you know, I haven't read it as much as I should have, and I could have, you know, been and I realized what it was. I realized it was an attack. It was trying to get me to think that I was separated from Christ. And so I laughed, and I said, you know what? I do need to read my Bible more. There is some great stuff in there, and I just on with it. I'm like, you know, just,
now,
you know what, you're right.
Now, pass the hand and get out of my way. We all fall short every day, and we're always going to. And maybe I've accepted that, and it's not to say that I'm not going to get up every day and give it 100% for God.
Oh, wow. Amen,
I'm
God.
A human
wow.
being.
I just,
you know,
had, I
I'm
just
gonna
had a word. This is amazing, guys. Hold on. I'm sorry to interrupt you, Sherry. I got it. This is amazing. I was sitting here, and I'm just thinking to myself, and I had a thought in my head that, I realized just what you were just saying, Jason. This was an attack, a straight attack in my mind, and it flashed through my head that, yeah, but by your lack of work, you're hurting other people. You're not hurting yourself. You're hurting other people. And that was the attack. And instantly, I felt God say to me, look, that's okay, because
you can tell the spirit's
on
him, can't you?
Caring, that makes you a better person, because you're caring about others before yourself. There's an actual scripture about it. I can't even think that it's one of the books that Paul wrote. Wow. I got shivers just thinking about it.
Yeah.
You know, it was like God just put Satan down right in my brain.
I know, that's why I love Judy so much, which I love all of you, but Judy's just so upbeat like me. Sure, read your Bible, do what the Lord says, but it's like people are just getting too freaky and serious, and it's not about repetition, and it's about a personal thing. That's what it's about. It's a personal thing with God our Father. Do the best you can. Don't you think he knows who you are? I mean, come on. If he don't know me by now, you know.
Putting others before, putting others before yourself. That's what the scripture was. I can't remember where. I wish I could think of where it is. I'm terrible about remembering.
You know, brother, the most important thing is that somehow through all of this, through Sherry calling in and sharing and us talking, that you shared something that you were struggling with, and
that
Jesus worked
right
through people.
Here on the phone while we were fellowshipping. That's awesome.
Yeah, the Lord's amazing. He puts what we need when we need it. And, that's just the way it is. And it's all praise to him, guys. It ain't nothing about me. I'm just...
Oh, amen.
Hey,
I know that, Sherry.
Trying to do, you know...
Fellowship. You know, a lot of times it's just fellowship of like-minded Christians. You know, and I really... They're hard to find around... You know, in the physical, around yourself in the area that you're in. You know, I really had to reach out to, you know, to other areas. Even when I'm going to church, I'm going to churches 40 miles away, you know.
You're doing the work of the Lord, brother. I got to bring a couple other callers on the line because they've been sitting here through this whole thing, but there's no way I was going to interrupt this.
No, that's good, guys. I got to go anyway. I got to take a bathroom break. God bless you all with a happy night. I'm listening.
God
bless you, Sherry. Thank you. Okay, we got, let me see what call drops, because I don't remember all the numbers. Okay, you're 814, right?
Yeah, I'm 814.
Okay, let's go 914, you're on the line.
Hi, you all, it's Stacy. How are you?
Hi,
Stacy.
How you doing? Great conversation, love it.
That was amazing, wasn't it?
Yes, our guests will make room for us. And
wow.
I can recognize it, whatever all you guys were saying, because I was a pastor's daughter, and I thought that I needed to do it, save the world. But decide.
So you thought you had to put your cape on and run around the world,
yeah,
and do everything.
Yeah, I was just killing myself. I was just killing myself because I thought that's what I was supposed to do. But just by ministering or witnessing to the people around me and sending out YouTube videos. And I actually had to go to church one night, and this stranger came up to me and said, God said, you don't have to save the world. Stop being so stressed out. Cause,
you're like, no,
and,
I've got stuff I have to do.
I know. And I used to worry about the people, my family members that weren't saved, and I was, like, spending hours praying for them. And not saying I'm not supposed to, but it was just more like a burden, and God doesn't want things like that to burden us. He said his yoke is easy and his burden is light. We are not the one that does the saving. He's the one that does the saving. So I was encouraged by Sherry and the others that were speaking about it, because I have struggled with that over the years. And I do still sometimes struggle with it, that I'm not doing enough. I'm not reading my Bible enough. I'm not praying enough. I'm not doing this. I'm not repenting enough. But God has to, he reminds me that, Stacy, it's a gift. It's my gift. Salvation is a gift, and you have to receive it. Your righteousness is a filthy rag. No matter what you do, you still need my blood. It's not by works. And I have to take a step back for myself, because I would want to do, because that's what my mom did for years. She just did this. She traveled the globe, and she just felt like she needed to do that. And she died from cancer at age 52. She died young, and she was always in the church and just always doing. And I was like, I don't want to do that. And then after she passed, I thought that's what I needed to do to get God's approval, because I grew up thinking that God was so mad at me and that he was about to just strike me down if I make one simple mistake. So that's how I grew up thinking, and he had to show me his grace by showing me himself. I had to get into that personal relationship with him, get to know him. And when I got to know him, he is so loving, and he is so kind, and he's so fatherly, and he does not want to strike me down. He just wants to love upon me, and that's why I love Judy's videos. And because God has such a great sense of humor, and he just loves us so much, and we make a bad character out of him. And he's not like the way a lot of people portray him. He is so loving. He said his grace is so sufficient for us. And his love is, oh, you cannot even comprehend his love for us. And we're more harder on ourselves than he's on us, believe it or not.
Well, I know it, because when the Lord actually speaks to me, it's always got a bit of humor in it. You know, it's a little, it's like,
yeah,
a ha-ha-ha kind of, you know, just a, it's hard to explain, but it's like a bit of not sarcasm, just, but it's humor in there. And, you know, I think everybody finds some comfort in humor, but
yeah,
when you feel them, it's just pure love. It's love you don't even understand. You know, like Sherry was talking about, when she gets the Holy Spirit on her, she starts giggling. The first thing I know when I start to feel the Holy Spirit is I actually feel like I'm getting ready to cry. Like,
I
just
feel
that
high.
You know, and not like I'm sad or anything. It's just like, oh, you know, and then all of a sudden it's just glow, you know, and but to feel his love, and once you felt it, it's like you're like, oh, now I get it.
His love is so amazing, and if people would just really get to, because that's what I asked the Lord. I said, Lord, I want to know you. I want to know my daddy. I got a relationship with him. He's my dad. I want to know my dad. And if people would just stop trying to know other people's dad, but just knowing God for themselves, they will realize, oh, he is just amazing, and he has such a great sense of humor, and he kids around. He's not stuck up.
No. He's not an angry guy.
From that. He doesn't have a ruler over our head. And God is just amazing, and his love is amazing, and he's wonderful, and he's just childlike. He said, "For you, oh, I can't wait to get to heaven just to act like a big little kid. I want to be a kid. I don't want to be the grown, do the grown up stuff like what I have to do down here with my kids. I just want to be a kid in my Father's kingdom." And that's what the Lord said. For you to enter the Father's, you have to be a kid. And I see myself like that. I see myself going down the rainbows and doing cartwheels on the streets of gold and dancing and just acting silly.
Yeah, there was somebody that posted a video. Somebody posted a video here a while back, and I really related to it because the guy, it was his son that had the video, but he was like, you know, I've always pictured myself going before the throne of God and just feeling so terrible and guilty and kneeling down and just feeling, you know, so terrible. And he's like, my son told me in the dream that they went and grabbed him and tackled him and pulled him down, and it was, you know, noogies and all this stuff. And it was like, it first hit me there. I was like, really? I was like, it's going to be an exciting guy. I thought I was going to be walking into this room that everybody was like,
yeah.
Oh, here's Jason. You know, but I don't know.
Well, that's what, you know, I prayed one day about when Judy made a comment on somebody, and then I actually had a pastor that I went and saw as a guest speaker at a church that was from Rhema Tabernacle, Rhema Bible College, and you know, I wanted to go see him, and I went and saw him, and he was making jokes, and he says, you know, we went up for an altar call, and everybody's getting slain in the spirit, and he comes to this one guy, and he says, all right, he says, he says, now you guys, he says, me and some other guys were ushering for people that were getting slain in the spirit, you know, we were catching, and he says, now you guys that are ushering, don't worry, I'm saving, you know, I'm saving the best, and you know, I'm gonna open the bottle of the good stuff when we're done with the altar call, so you guys can still get a turn too and get some, you know, some of the spirit. And he comes to this one guy next to me, standing next to me, and he says, you know what a Boilermaker is, right? The guy's like, yeah. He's like, well, I'm about to give you a Boilermaker in the spirit. And then he looks at everybody and he says, now, for all you old prudes out there, and this guy's like probably 60, I think, you know, and he says, for all you old prudes out there that are saying, oh, he's blaspheming, he's talking, making levity of God's word, and he says, I want you to remember, he says, do you think that God is sitting around for eternity mad?
So true.
He says, do you really think that an omnipotent being is never going to smile or laugh or have fun? Do you think he's really just going to, you know, sit around miserable and mad all the time? No, I don't think so.
That's a really good point. I want to bring 626 on the line. Everybody stay on here. They called in, I think, right about the time Stacy had called in, but I just wanted to bring them on there. 626? 626, are you there?
Yeah, hey, it's Leah. How are you?
Hi, Leah.
Hello. Hi, Leah.
Are you having a good evening?
Yeah, it was actually really phenomenal. Normally I'm like, oh, so excited to get on the call. And actually I think God had other plans for me. And I ended up in a really good conversation with one of my parents at work. And she told me some, like, amazing things, because we started talking a little bit about, the rapture and Jesus and just different things like that. And then she started telling me about all these dreams that she's been having, and she's like, I have these really intense dreams, and she's like, I've had dreams about the end of the world, and I mean, she just like laid all this stuff out on me, and I was like, wow.
Get it all at once. Thanks, thank you, Lord, for she says.
I mean, she went into depth. She was telling me about how there was this one dream, and she said, she was like, I knew it was the end of the world, and she was like, I was, you know, standing there, and she's like, I literally saw thousands of UFOs in the sky. And she said, and you just seen them beaming down and just hitting the earth and just instantly killing people. I said, are you serious? She's like, yes. She's like, I seen one hit my mom's house. And she's like, and I knew she was dead. And I was just like, whoa, right? I mean, she's going on about, like, these intense dreams. I mean, like she's like, you know, she was like, I would be standing in this one place, and then all of a sudden it would just be hit with this huge wave, like a flood water. And I'm like, uh-huh. And I'm just like, I'm like, okay. And I'm like, pours out his spirit on everybody. I mean, anything. She's like, and there's fires everywhere, and people are running around, and they're screaming, and they're terrified. And she's like, I'll wake up, and I'll just be shaking. I'm so afraid. And I said, uh-huh.
I mean, as long as we're lifespan with God, she doesn't have to worry about being afraid. People tell me all the time, they're like, why are you always talking so much doom and gloom and the end of the world and the doom and gloom? I'm like, because it may be doom and gloom for you, but for me, it's not. For me, it's like, Joyce, yes, God's coming.
So
I get to meet him. We get to sit and chat, and I get to, you know, ask him everything I've ever wanted to ask him. And, you know, that's, you know, I'm in heaven. There's no, you know, I'm good.
And then I told her, I said, after all of that, I said, how do you feel about all of this? Like, where do you stand? Because she asked me, did I think that we were living in the last days? I said, yep, uh-huh. I expect Jesus to come back any minute now, right now. And she was like, really? And I said, yeah. She said, well, how do you know that? And she was like, and I said, because I read my Bible, and I started watching the news, and I looked at the signs, and I can just feel it, and I prayed about it. But I said, okay, you're telling me you've had all these dreams. Where do you stand with the Lord? Like, how do you feel? And she said, well, I still don't know. I said, you had dreams like that and you don't know? And she said, because she said, still upset with God.
I wish I had dreams like that.
Me too. She said she used to be, like, really involved in church, and the problem is she's hurt. And she lost a child to cancer, and she watched her child be sick and die. And after that, she became very angry and bitter with God. And it's kept her from him, and we just had a conversation. She said, well, how do you feel? Because, you know, we've talked, and we've shared histories, and, you know, I've like, miscarried, and we've talked about that. Like, she's known me during those periods. And she said, well, how do you feel? And I said, you know, I said, I'm not mad at God. And I said, number one, I said, people are wrong, and we give God credit for things he has nothing to do with. I said, you're telling me, I said, how I learned what God showed me, and it was a revelation that changed my life, was that God is not the person who, God didn't kill your baby. You're telling me, you as a parent, if you gave your child to die in place of somebody else, you would turn around and take another one of their children from them? You're telling me that the man who loved us so much let his only son die for us so that we could be reconciled to him, would take your child from you? That's what you believe? And then she said, I guess I didn't think about it like that. I said, I'm telling you, that's what gets me through. I said, God didn't take your baby from you. I said, Satan did. I said, we live in a world filled with sin and death and disease, and that's just because of the world we live in. But I'm telling you right now, God didn't take your baby from you. Your baby is in heaven, growing up, living with God, the best place to possibly be.
Leah, I am thoroughly.
That's amazing.
You answered that amazingly, because when you said it, I was like immediately thinking, how could you? You know, for me, I'm like, you know, you lose a child or you lose something like that, and you want to go over and talk to someone about God. That's like a very touch, very sensitive deal. It's like, you know, what can you say? Ministers have trouble with that. What do you say when you get to that point? And you just pulled out your billy club and smacked her with God.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
That was nice.
amazing. That's
but, I mean,
amazing.
Like, people did that. Like, people would tell me that in error, and it was only because God, he took me through it, and he prepared me for it before it had even happened that last time, and he taught me. And when people would come to me, and they would say, you know, well, and they would be Christians, and they'd say, well, we don't know why God did what he did. And I'd say, well, wait a minute, hold on, I'm going to stop you right there. God didn't do that. God had nothing to do with me losing my baby. And they just look at me, you know. I'd be able to tell them, and I said, you know, that's not what he does. God is love. Why do you think God would make you suffer? Why do you think God would steal from you your baby? Would
that's
kill you? I said,
answer.
You as a parent, would you strike your child with cancer to teach them a lesson? Would you do that? Because God wouldn't do that to you.
Ooh.
Why would you do that to your own child? So how much more does he love us? And that's the revelation that he taught me, and I can share that with other people. And they just, like, look, and she said, well, you gave me something to think about. I said, go ahead. I mean, that's all I can tell you. That's what I get through. That's what I've learned. And that's what I can hold on to and understand and get through the bad things that happen in this world. That's how I get through them, understanding that God didn't do that, and we need to stop blaming him for everything that he didn't do.
And A lot of people do that.
I had a friend of mine that, you know, he lost his daughter to him and his wife got divorced, and she had custody, and I'm gonna use that, actually, if you don't mind, Leah, because I've been witnessing to him.
I don't mind.
And he still struggles because his baby died when she was 2 years old, almost two. The mother was doing meth and had a boyfriend in the house that was cooking meth, and the boyfriend hit the baby in the head with a propane tank for crying, and killed his daughter. And ever since then, I mean, the guy's in jail, but the my buddy, I've been witnessing to him, and forever I hate God, I don't believe in God, because what God would take my child? And the only answer I've ever given him was, well, look at the terrible world we're in, you know, we're in this terrible world, and maybe God was just trying to save your daughter from something worse later on down the line. Maybe he was taking her out of the world so she didn't have to experience this mess, you know, and that's not enough for him. So I'm going to lay that one on him and see how he feels about that.
And another thing is the fact that that baby is in heaven with God, and if he wants to see that baby, he has to get right with God, because that baby is there, growing up happy,
amen,
waiting,
yeah,
for him.
Amen. Good work.
David Wilkerson had a sermon on this. It's called The Private Walk of a Saint. And he'd been through fighting cancer with his wife, and then his daughter got cancer. And he said that, you know, he talks about a private war. It's not that anything that people can console you about. You're just between you and God, and you and God only. He said he went out to the country, got out of his car, and he said he was yelling at God. And he's like, now before you guys get upset, you can yell at God. You just got to ask for forgiveness when you're done. And he said he was going on, and he was just like, Lord, you know, how can you do this? We got through my wife, and now my daughter's sick. What, you know, I preach around the world. I do these, you know, what the heck is the deal? And he said, Lord told him, he said, she's got two fathers. Which one can help her more, you or me? And he goes, you. And he goes, okay, get back in your car and go sit next to her. And
amen.
You know, just that humbling reminder of who can help.
Yeah.
Everything is neat.
I mean, when you get to that point in life where you get so close, I mean, to the point when I hear that somebody passed away or somebody's sick, the first thing that comes to my mind, do they know Jesus? Do they know God? Because they're going to the Father. I mean, I lost my mom at 52, and I know whenever her death anniversary comes around, my sister and they all, sometimes I forget. Because I know she's in heaven. I know she loves the Lord, and I know that God she's there with God, and I know that she's with the Father. And I know one day I'm going to see her. And he allowed me to have a vision where I'm standing with her in front of a fall that had diamond coming out of the fall. It's like she was showing me around. And God was just showing me, I'm going to see my mom one day, and one day we're going to stand before in front of this beautiful fall, and it's going to have diamond coming out of the rocks. And I rejoice in that. I rejoice in it. And that's what the Bible says. When somebody is born, we should cry and mourn. And when somebody dies in Jesus, we should rejoice. Because when that person is born, you don't know if they're going to give their life to the Lord and go back to heaven, go back to where they came from. Because that's what we all journeying to, where we came from, back to the Father. And so many of us lose our way and don't get back to where we came from. And that's where the sad part of it is. The babies that pass away, we know for surety that they're with Christ. They're with God. And that's a blessing, right, to know that. I know death is something that we don't understand it, because it's new. And death is something that is really a touchy subject, and it's really a hurtful thing. But when you are in Christ and you can really know that when a believer died, or when a small child died, they go right back to the Father. They are safe with the Father. And that brings comfort to so many people.
Amen. Yeah, because they're in heaven, yeah. And he's taking care of them. He can take better care of them than any of us ever could. And I'm not, no
exactly.
Knock against any women that are moms.
Amen.
But yeah, I'm just really impressed by that story. I mean, the fact that it happened to you, and the fact that you could share it with somebody, you know, that's the Lord's working. And, you know,
yeah,
she had all these dreams and didn't face it and didn't see it. And she had all those dreams, powerful dreams. And you already know all that stuff, and you stand there like, yeah, I know what you're talking about, which I'm sure it was shocked her. I mean,
yeah.
And then you get to share your own personal side, and, you know, we don't always get to see the Lord's work manifest in front of us, but, you know, I'm sure it's better when, you know, I know things happen behind the scenes we just don't ever get to see.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
I want to get Judy on the air tonight.
That we have our testimony, that's the whole point. That's how we spread the gospel. That's how we witness to people. It's your personal testimony, because you don't know how God's going to use you to minister to somebody else. And it's those little things that you talk about, those little moments where the small thing that you say means so much for the other person, and it may mean their own salvation.
People tell me all the time that, you know, like my friends and family members, they're like, Chris, you really need to write a book, because your testimony is, I mean, you guys don't know me real well, but, I mean, I went from 4 days a week in church as a child to a rebellious teenager drinking and doing drugs to practicing what I thought was following God, but I was actually practicing witchcraft, to getting married to a woman that was convinced she was Wiccan and she was a witch, but because I grew up as a, you know, I had no father, I always swore, I don't care who I get pregnant, I'm marrying her. So I marry her, and I spend 8 years with her, and throughout that time, I want to go back to God, but I can't because my wife is a witch, supposedly, you know. Then we get divorced, and I end up a single father of two kids, you know, that still is going through all kinds of, you know, still got problems with drinking, still got problems with dating worldly women, and, you know, just being in the world, you know. And all the things I've gone through, my testimony just goes on and on and on and on, and, you know, and then all of a sudden now, right before, you know, like a year and a half before Jesus returns, it just clicks in my head that Jesus, like, slapped me in the face. I was sitting there praying one day, and I just started listening. I had just started listening to a Christian radio station that I found, and I liked the music. So I just started listening to it. Still wasn't saved, you know. Hadn't rededicated my life. Wasn't even thinking about rededicating my life.
And I'm listening to this music, and I started listening to it, and then I always believed in God, but I wasn't following him at all, you know. And I went through years of blaming him for all the hardships that I went through in my life, car wrecks and, you know, and bad jobs and lousy marriage and everything, and I blamed him. And one day, and a lot of it always boiled down for me, it always boiled down to, God, why can't I find the right, you know, even when I thought I was in love, I wasn't in love. Why can't I find the right godly woman, a decent woman to be with? And it was like God slapped me in the face. And this is why I got saved, actually, and rededicated my life, because it was literally like he slapped me in the face and he said, boom, you idiot, do you think I'm going to put a godly good woman in your life when you're this messed up so you can mess her up? You got to be crazy. Yeah. And I was like, whoa, okay, God, so you're telling me I need to get right with you and then we'll work on other stuff. I get it. And I was just, at that point, I just started doing little things and listening to him. Like, he said, okay, I want you to get rid of cable. Okay, I want you to stop watching worldly movies. Okay, I want you to start reading the Bible every day. Okay, I want you to start praying every day in tongues. Okay, I want you to go to church 2-3 times a week. Get as much fellowship as you can. You know, and it's been like I tell people all the time, it's like evolution is real and evolution is true, but it's not what people think it is. It's an evolution in Christ evolving into what he wants you to be, because every day he's going to hit you with something new that he wants you to accomplish or do or change in yourself to become more of what he wants you to be. You know, and just just submitting myself. And then I got to a point where, wow, I'm at peace. I don't care about meeting a woman. I don't care about, you know, whether my kids are giving me a hard time. I have the peace and joy of God. I don't have to be angry all the time and go out and get in bar fights and, you know, everything else. And it was just amazing, the changes in my life that occurred with it. You know, just by waking up one day and just feeling like God was, you know, I literally felt like he called me an idiot. You know, I felt it in my head. I heard this voice in my head, you idiot. You know, and I was like, wow.
Okay, Chris, I need you to be rude. We got 8 minutes left, and I want to get Judy on the phone, so I'm going to make an outbound call to her from the show. So I'm not trying to be rude or cut your story off, but we just kind of pressed for time. And she kept trying to call in, and I'd answer it, and then all of a sudden she would be disconnected. So we're all going to get to hear this. Can you guys hear it ringing? Maybe.
Yeah, we can hear that.
Okay.
Hello.
Hello. Hi, we're you're the seventh caller for the drawing.
Did I win that Maverick?
You did win the Maverick.
Oh, lovely, lovely. I'd like to sell it and give everything to the poor.
No, I'm not going to do that. You don't get to take it if you're not going to drive it around.
Right out of this world. You know, I've got a little...
How was Donna today?
Oh, Donna's happy because the rush is seconds away, probably today.
I've never heard that before.
No. All right, this is Judy. Oh, okay. Is the sound coming in okay? Because it crackled.
It's a little choppy.
How about here? We got it now?
Yeah, you're good there.
Okay, there. This is for Blah Talk. Are you listening, Blah Talk?
I'm listening.
Here we go.
There's other people on the line. Yeah. They're not saying anything.
Hi, Stacy.
Hi.
I love you. Hi, I love you. Oh, if we're here tomorrow, which I don't think we will be, try to call in the morning.
Okay.
When your boss isn't looking.
I know.
Okay, I have my sister here, and she might do this with me, but I like to speak in tongues. and perhaps we'll get an interpretation, or perhaps we'll just speak in tongues. So this is for Blah Talk, okay? Got anything to say, sis? My sister's being shy with her gift of tongues. Blah, you have the gift, sweetheart. Open the mouth and talk, okay? All the gifts that God gives are for free, and they're for everybody. You just have to believe them and then take them by faith. See, it's like a little treasure chest. And you open up the treasure chest, and by faith you take it out. And then you act on it. You act on it, and then God activates it because God responds to faith. But if you're sitting there for electricity to fall out of the sky, for something to happen in your life, you're going to be sitting there a long time. So I've been saved 27 years, and I sat around for a while thinking stuff had to land on me. But you just jump in it. Jump in it with your dad, and he'll just come through. He comes through every time because he's good, and he responds to faith.
Yeah, Blah. So go into your room and pray to the Lord and open your heart and get rid of all your preconceived ideas.
What I did, you know,
you're kind of rude.
No, I wasn't trying to sound rude. It's hard to, you're hard to compete with energy. I get drained. I say that all the time. I used to think the same thing. Now you got me. No, never mind. You're just twisting me up. That's good.
Well, you know, Jason likes to talk about how I don't pay my PG&E bill and I don't pay my bills and things get turned off.
I felt so bad this morning for making a joke about your power, like, because there's some message thing, and then I would wake up, and I felt so guilty. And I text her. She hadn't texted back, and I'm like, oh, for sure, she's mad at me.
Yeah, and what Jason doesn't know is I never look at my phone, hardly, so he, like, leaving me text feeling guilty, and that made my day. I was laughing so hard. I'm like, you felt guilty?
You got on too late. We were already talking about that earlier.
Oh, my goodness. That was the devil and God allowed it to happen so that he would know that he could open ridicule me all day long, every day, and I would love it.
Well, that's what I told him. I said, I don't really know Judy, you know, but I know from just watching her videos enough and watching her persona and her attitude, she's pretty thick-skinned. I don't see you offending her very easily.
Well, I do my best, you know.
Yeah, you do good, though. You do good. God's a tough cookie.
Yeah, he's a real tough cookie. You're the one that's sitting around talking about how open and loving he is, and now you say he's a tough cookie.
No, like in a good way. Like, no, like, you know, he told me one day, I mean, you know, everyone tries to be really nice, and they're like, I'm not laughing at you, I'm laughing with you. Well, one day he goes, I'm laughing at you and with you. That's the God I serve. He's a tough little cookie. He made me a tough cookie, too. He's funny.
I swear that when he answers me and stuff, and I'll be in prayer, and I'll ask something, or I'll thank him for something, he actually says, like, you're welcome or something, in, like, this sarcastic way of just,
yeah,
like, oh, you're welcome. You know, just, eh, whatever. You know.
Oh, my goodness.
It makes me laugh every single time. I'll be in the middle of some, you know, real prayer, and all of a sudden I'll just start laughing because you're welcome.
Yeah, that was just the best time I had. I was in In-N-Out Burger, and I think I already even said this on a video, but I mean, because God knows how bad he wants to take his bride. You know, we're not going to be here in 2014. We're still in 2013, according to his calendar, and I just never forget it. And he said, you know what you would have to call your show if you were here in 2014? And I'm like, what? He goes, your channel would be called Pink and Kool-Aid with John and Judy. Because he knows. He knows. He knows we are not going to be here. That was just so funny. I was like, God, you are bad. You're so funny.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm sure that got a hateful bunch of hateful videos made back for you. And now she's talking about Kool-Aid channels.
Yeah, I'm sure he has a serious side. How's Donna? What?
How's John?
Hey, John's right here. I always want him to talk because he's so just anointed all day, but he shies away from the show a bit. I don't know why. John, do you have anything to say?
There aren't even many people on the show tonight. He should be all right.
Hey, John,
there's about 20...
If you just come bless us, you don't have to say anything. Sing Mary Had a Lamb or something. Come on.
Oh, I guess there's a lot of people just listening then. There's only been like, what, a half a dozen of us that talked.
Oh, there's a lot of people listening to the show because Kate looks at the staff and it's like thousands.
That's encouraging.
Yes, you're all big superstars. That's why this show features the bride. The bride needs to call in and show off her daddy. I mean, you're not being stuck up when you talk about how great you and so on. And, you know, father shows off his bride before the wedding. The bride is showing off. The way her father is blessing her before this great event. And I hope many more, Colin. I really do.
Well, I think they will, but there's just really not enough time for the show to really grow. Cause
yeah.
Amen. I hope
you're going
so. I told Dustin and Luke the other night, I said, I'm really praying that, you know, we're all sitting here on the show one night, and then next thing you know, we're all in the sky sitting around the banquet table still talking.
Wow.
You know?
Sounds
like, I don't even know that we're not still on the phone on Blog Talk Radio, and we're all just sitting together in the clouds just going, what? Wow.
You know,
what
would be even cooler is if we could broadcast from the clouds.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
I'm
might be busy.
Broadcasting from the clouds for just another couple hours, please God, that'd be so great.
Yeah.
And maybe I'll be
God, can I please bring my iPhone with me just for a little while, just so we can finish the broadcast.
Yeah, and just maybe be in the chat room too.
There's one more person on the line. It's 819. I don't know if they want to get in safe. Your mic's
Oh, my
great.
Gosh. Answer that. That might be Red X calling.
We're almost
I'm not
time,
sure. I
guess
they're on the line.
819, Ipana. How are you guys?
Hello.
Hello.
I'm just listening.
Oh.
I have dream, but I will tell you the dream tomorrow because tonight I don't really feel okay to talk because I almost choked earlier. I have something in my throat.
Oh, be careful. Yeah. We'll pray for you.
I was drinking a tea and the tea got to the wrong pipe, so
oh.
Everything
like
is going to be fine. So tomorrow it's going to be a pleasure for me to tell you guys what the what trick Jesus played on me, if you are here.
Well, that sounds good. You got something to look forward to.
Yeah. Okay, so good night, guys.
Good night. Judy, do you need any healing prayers? Are you suffering?
No, I'm not, but it's going to be good if it could happen. You know, when you're drinking something sweet, you go to the wrong pipe, it's really bothering you for a long time.
Yeah, it just makes you feel like you choked on water for about 2 hours.
Yeah.
It's funny, everybody was talking about joking with God earlier. I always joke with God. I'm like, Lord, you've got to have pizza in heaven. I can't go without pizza for eternity.
Yes, he does have pizza. He does have pizza. I remember I saw a lady who used to go to heaven. She said the pizza in heaven is so good. And I had a dream last time. It was like in November. I had a dream about Surabelle. I was eating in a park in heaven, and I see one of the pastors who used to go to my church. He had a big pizza in his hand. But what is funny about my dream? A heaven doesn't have bathroom. Sarah need to come. Sarah Bell need to come back on Earth to go to the bathroom. And I call her Sarah and she was laughing. I said, guess what, Sarah? In heaven there's no bathroom. You have to come back on Earth to go to the bathroom. How amazing is that?
My son Zach says hi to everybody. My son Zach
Hello.
Says hi to everybody.
Hello, Zach.
Hi. Jason says hi.
Hi, Zach.
Judy said hi.
Okay.
That was Leah.
Tell her I like her videos.
He said he likes your videos, Judy.
We don't, Judy. She's awesome. Hey, Judy. Judy.
Judy fell down
there.
My phone.
Yeah.
She never, and I mean, every time, I think I sent her like a private message. She never answered me. I said, oh, maybe God doesn't want her to talk to me.
I think she's gone.
I think she fell down.
Okay, guys, I think the time is up. So good night. Talk tomorrow.
Good night, young lady.
Hey,
well, good
talk
night,
to you
God bless.
God bless you guys.
Good night.
Bye.
Good night.
Be blessed. Yeah, well, how much time do we have, Jason?
Well, the show's over, but it's recording for the podcast, so, you know, just don't put your debit card on the air right now just yet. Might be a bad idea.
Are you sure? It seems like a great
might
idea.
Be a bad, I don't know. Yeah, you know. We ain't got that much time, might as well.
Oh, I know. Shopping spree.
But Chris, you this morning there's a guy that was calling in and he trolled me the other night in the chat room talking to me because he doesn't believe in the rapture.
Oh,
and he called in today and I knew he would and I was happy for it. I was like, well, if you're here, then if you don't believe in the rapture and you're listening to this show and you're wanting to call in, well, God's putting you here for a reason, you know. And he was actually pretty kind about the whole thing and whatnot, but prayed for him, and it's been on my mind all day, hoping that the Lord, because I told him, I said, I can't convince you of anything. I said, just ask the Lord. And hold on, I got to cut Judy. There we go.
Can you guys still
hear
me?
Now Judy, yeah, I can hear
you. Okay. All right.
But no, and then the deal tonight, you know, I just, it's very weird to be doing this show. And, you know, all I ever pray for is that something good comes for that somebody that doesn't believe in the rapture or feels like they're not, you know, going to go in the rapture or anything like that is encouraged. So
yeah.
When stuff like that happens, man, I'm just real happy I was here to see it, to hear it.
Amen, yeah. And that's just, you know, it's like I said, it's just so nice to have people to fellowship with that are like-minded believers. That's what, you know, that's what I love about, you know, you guys starting this show, and I, you know, because I don't make YouTube videos, but I follow all of you guys on YouTube, you know, and I just, you know, when you guys started this, I was like, wow, cool, I can fellowship with them now, you know, I just love it, you know, to just have other people that feel what you feel in the spirit and in God, and just to uplift each other. You know, half of these trolls that you guys have, it drives me crazy because half of them, you know, they know that it's soon. God has told them that it's soon. And just because you guys picked a year, you know, whoop-de-doo, you picked a year, you know, they are all this blasphemous and, you know, dissension in the bride of Christ. And I'm like, you guys have no idea, you know, what you're doing and what you're, you know, how you're affecting people, you know. I said, first off, I said, a lot of these, you know, like Katie and Dustin and, you know, and Sarah Bell, these guys are all young, you know. They're all young people, you know. People like, you know, I don't know how old you are, Jason. I'm 38.
But, you know,
I'm 36.
Like, yeah, so, you know, people our age and Judy's age, we're a little bit more resilient. But you could damage these people's, and I've called them out in comments and stuff, and been like, you could damage their walk with Christ. And then how are you going to feel? Because instead of taking a young Christian that's, you know, eager and, you know, on fire for God and boosting them up and lifting them up and helping them and, you know, praising them for their fire for Christ and their passion for God, you know, you rebuke them and talk all this smack. And what if they, you know, what if you cause them to stumble because of that?
You know, that's where I see it. I get a big kick out of people that make their stupid online rebuke videos, and all it really is for a chance for them to say, in Jesus' name, I don't like this person. You know,
that's exactly
really all it is.
Yeah,
I don't know,
and
the
like,
transformer.
You know, even, you know, because I tell all of you guys this, you know, I don't get told a date. I don't get told times, and, you know, I pray. Now, when you guys get told times, I think, God, I hope so. That'd be awesome, you know, but I don't, he tells me soon, you know, that's it. You know, he tells me soon, and he leaves it at that. But I don't rebuke you guys because you got a date and then I didn't, you know. What's that?
I see it as, I'm blessed to hear from the Lord when he tells me, and then I've been confused when he tells me you're coming home tonight and I wake up the next day. But I just know that, you know, he's patient on me for years when I was backslidden, you know, and I'm patient with him now. I'm blessed to hear
exactly.
from him. So what am I going to do, complain about hearing from him that what he told me didn't make sense to my version of the world? Leah, I think
exactly.
your story, Leah, are you still there? Leah?
Yeah, I'm here.
Your story was so cool. I don't know if you have a YouTube channel or anything like that, but I'm not trying to you and do what the Lord puts on your heart, but, you know, if you could share that story, I think so many people would benefit from that. I mean, just,
yeah.
And I'm not being cheesy.
Amen.
I mean, I'm telling you, when you said that, all I could think in my mind is what the heck do you respond to a person that's lost something like that? You know, I have nothing. And I'm not trying to encourage you to do something that the Lord hasn't put on your heart, but that was pretty amazing.
I think
that's an amazing word.
Thanks.
Do you have a YouTube channel? I'm not even sure if I watch your YouTube channel. Do you have one?
No, I don't. I do not have a YouTube channel. It was just me talking to somebody like I've felt that kind of loss, not exactly the same, because obviously I have not lost a child after years and watching them, you know, get sick and die. But, I mean, understanding that kind of loss of losing a child and just, like, the Lord bringing me to understand the things deeper and to be able to relate to somebody else who feels that kind of pain when they come to you and they're like, well, you know, well, what about this? Because I had questions like that. I felt like that. I was like, you know, why? Why does this happen? Why does God allow it if he's so good? And then when he tells you, you're like, oh, and then you can't keep that to yourself when other people come to you and they want to know the same thing. And then you can share with them and speak to them on a level that they'll understand. It is an amazing gift that I am so thankful to have, that he gave me that realization and that healing, to be honest with you, to heal my soul, to understand that, you know, I have no reason to be mad at God because he loves me, and to understand that, you know, how deep that love really is, and to put it in perspective that I could understand and then be able to share that with other people is amazing.
Amen. That's when it comes to the,
well,
I've had experiences
like,
where I can relate
like
to.
Lord
I just
Jesus says, and just get on FaceTime with Judy, and she'll put you on her channel.
Sure.
That's a good idea.
That's so funny. I love those videos with the FaceTime.
Hey, we're going to do a low-budget video here. It's a camera on a camera going against the screen.
That was the best. I loved it with Captain Crunch. That was awesome right there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was
good.
I have seen a video that someone did post a message of someone videotaping themselves of playing a video on one phone and recording that with another camera. So you're just getting this tiny little screen being recorded. So, you know, whatever it takes, I guess.
You know what's funny is I've been watching just for the Lord Jesus channel for months, and I've never seen his face until I saw him on Judy's channel.
He does a bunch of videos.
It was always
the
window in the background.
Yeah, he does several videos now. He's got a bunch of stuff where he's dancing around in different rooms of his house and singing in the shower.
I got a kick out of it. So she brought him out of the closet. She got him to come out.
I think he's awesome. I had never heard of him until then. But, I mean, there's so many great YouTube channels. I was watching, you kept talking about Freedom Fighter, and I watched some of his videos, and, yeah, they are really good.
Yeah, he takes some leaps sometimes, but a lot of his stuff's pretty good.
Yeah.
I like Dabu 7. I'm not a fan, and I'm not talking bad. I don't like the Paul Bagley stuff because a lot of times it seems like a lot of hype. But, you know, when you're dealing with conspiracy stuff and end time stuff, it's, you know, you got to live that with everybody.
I like Paul Bagley. I mean, he's on. Here's my thing. This is my thing. I believe, you know, like, I get into the conspiracy stuff, too, because you got to sort out and use discernment on what of it is true, you know, because there are things that, you know, that fit into what's going on for us in Christ that is the conspiracy stuff fits in. You have to use discernment, you know, with it. But the one thing that Paul Bagley does do that bothers me that a lot of these guys do that has kind of turned me off from him a little bit is the whole doing everything for money. It's all about, well, I'm going to talk about this, now buy my book, you know.
Yeah.
And I don't get into that. I believe God's knowledge should be shared freely. And if we're supposed to be blessed financially for any kind of knowledge or teaching or word, you know, spreading that we do, God will arrange that blessing without us having to sell the knowledge. You know, that bugs me.
Yeah, you preach
it
out there.
You want to buy his book and see if he actually wrote what? Are you serious?
I love when Dustin does the, I'm the black Paul Bagley.
That is the best.
Yeah.
That is the best. I love that when he had his cup of coffee and he had his glasses.
Yeah, and then he's like, let me get my glasses, I don't wear glasses. And then he put them on and you could tell they were hurting his eyes. They were like his mom's glasses or something. Like, wait a minute, I can't see out of these things.
But for real, though, I get a lot of information from him that I would not know, would have known.
I don't know. I love
him.
I think he's really good. And I do. I was sad when he stopped screaming. When they were like, oh, you scream too much. I thought it was so funny when he would scream.
He was slapping himself.
I really wish I liked him because you guys love him so much.
It's all right. I mean, everybody has their own thing. But
it's just when I hear him do it, it makes my skin crawl. And so I mean, it's not like I'm like talking bad about him, but yeah, everybody enjoys it so much. And I mean, everybody likes him. I'm the one that's like the sore thumb here, you know. And so you know, it's everybody does it all the time. And every time somebody
I mean, Jason, there's things I don't like about him. I mean, I can see where your point is. I feel the same about like Gary Stearman, who does prophecy in the news. You know,
mm-hmm.
he gets into, like, he puts a lot of the, you know, a lot of the stuff that he puts, the same with, like, Sid Roth. You know, they do a lot of great, you know, I feel like they squander their anointing, you know, because it's always about promoting a book or promoting somebody's DVD set that's up for sale, and for a $100 donation, you can know the rest of this story. You know, I don't get
yeah,
into
that. Yeah, you can
that.
Have a $100 donation, get you a free book. I've actually bought
yeah,
a lot of
ministry you know, and
books.
I'm like, if I want to donate to you, I'll donate it to you. But if God's telling you to spread this word, and then what right do you have to put a price tag on something that God told you to tell people? Yeah.
Well, people got to earn a living, and I get that. And, you know, for me, I don't understand it. I don't know where you draw the line.
Well,
to me, you go out and preach.
I know a lot of pastors that travel and preach, and they don't get a paycheck. They, you know, they allow the church that they preach at to. They've told me they're like some churches will write me a check. You know, some churches will give me gas money to get there. Some churches make me buy them dinner, and I don't get anything. you know?
No, it's
like,
truly living on
God
the faith of the
Lord. God told me to be there
and
spread the word, and God works it all out.
No, I'm with you. It's truly working with the faith in the Lord, being, you know, he'll provide. I'm with you.
Yeah.
It's just kind of a strange